And the connection with last week's parsha is last week's parsha we have the story, among other stories, the end of the story is the story of the Akedah, the Akedah's Yitzchak, the binding of Isaac, where Isaac is able to survive his test, and Isaac and Abraham are able to survive their test. And right afterwards, on page 104, which is chapter 22, Pasuk number 20, Pasuk number Chav, starts the story of Rivka being born, Rivka which is going to be the wife of Isaac being born. And Rashi is in the opinion that at that juncture, after the Akedah, that's exactly why it's written in the order, that right then, that's when she was born, and therefore, we know that Isaac was 37 years at the Akedah, so he's 4 years when he's born. According to Rashi's opinion, Rivka is 3 years old when she marries, and we'll look at next week's parsha. We'll get into more detail exactly the machlokes, how old Rivka was when she actually was married. But this connection, this expansion, Vayihu Chayei Sarah, and there were Vayihu Chayei Sarah, this was the life, and Sarah's lifetime was Me'er Shana, 100 years, Ve'esim Shana, in 20 years, Ve'sheva Shanim, in 7 years. Shnei Chayei Sarah, those are the years of the life of Sarah. So Rashi writes down, first of all, the interesting Vayihu Chayei Sarah, that the numerical value of the word Vayihu is 37. The Vav is 6, the Yud is 10, the He is 5, the Yud is 10, and the Vav is 6. So 6 plus 10 is 16, plus 5 is 21, plus 10 is 31, plus 6 is 37. So Vayihu Chayei Sarah, Sarah's total life were the 37 years that she had Isaac. And to prove about this is also that in Parshas Vayetze, article page number 154, the top line, which is Parsha Lamed, Pasuk number 1, where Rachel comes to Yaakov and says, Rachel is barren, she has no children, she says to Yaakov, Havol Ivanim, give me children, Vim'ayin, if you don't give me, Meis Anochi, I'm dead. So Rashi brings down from the Gemara in the Dorim, Dav Samach Davat Med Beis, Mikan, Lemi Shein Lebanim, that somebody who doesn't have children, Choshev Kames, is considered like he is dead. So, therefore, Vayihu Chayei Sarah, the life of Sarah was Vayihu. And that's why it's repeating again afterwards that she lived 127 years, and total Shnei Chayei Sarah, total is Chayei Sarah. I saw another interesting thing on the beginning of the Parsha, that Vayihu Chayei Sarah Mea, that the Sofer Tabes, the end of each word, the first Vayihu is a Vav, the Chayei, the last letter is a Yud, Sarah is a Hey, and Meah is a Hey. So together is Yud Hey, Vav Hey, which is the name of Hashem. So Sarah's, all the life of Sarah, she was complete for Hashem. Also another thing I saw, that the beginning of the letters, Vayihu Chayei Sarah Meah, the beginning of letters is the word Mashuach, which is basically that she, because of her, is what the Mashiach will come because of her, because of Sarah, her greatness. Maybe the idea is that she kicked out Ishmael last week's parsha, and through that she had a strength of character, and so therefore Mashiach will come. Or if you take a look at the word Mashiach, if you rearrange the letters, is also Simcha. The first letter of each one is Vayu, is the Vav, the Chai is the Ches, Sora is the Sin, and Meah is the Mem. So it makes the word Simchu if you scrabble the words. Which means to say that Sarah Imenu, her years were Besimcha. Also Rashi writes down, Vayu Chai Sora Meah Shona, 100 years, 20 years and 7 years. Rashi writes down the Kachnicht of Shana Bechol Klal of Klal. Why is it written the word Shana and by each one separately? Lo Malach should tell you should call Echad Nidrash Leatzma, that each one is separate. So Rashi writes a different one way, and I saw different medrash different way. So Rashi writes down Bas Kuf, and when she was 100 Kvas Chav, she was like she was 20 Lechei, the same way that Hashem doesn't punish in this world until a person is 20 years. I'm sorry, the Oilam. Hashem doesn't punish in his world, in the heavens until a person is 20. And we learned that from the Meraglim, from the spies, that the spies were not punished only from 20 and up. So when she was 100, she also didn't have any sin, the same way that she was clean from sin. When she was 20, she was clean from sin when she was 100. And when she was 20, she was as beautiful as she was 7, as beautiful as a 7-year-old girl. So the question they ask is, a 7-year-old girl, a 20-year-old woman is much more beautiful than a 7-year-old girl. So one answer is that in those times, if you say that Rivka was 3 years old when she got married, obviously they matured very quickly, or when they matured, they looked differently than they do now. Other answer they give is that what Mr. say is the same way a 7-year-old girl, when she is beautiful, she doesn't flaunt it. She doesn't show off her beauty. She's so beautiful that she doesn't even know she's beautiful, and she doesn't flaunt it. She has no, she's not conceited about it. So too, Sarah, when she was 20 years old, she was so beautiful that she wasn't conceited about it. And Shnei Chayisara, I saw an interesting word from Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer brings down that Shnei Chayisara, she had two lives. The Gemara writes down that in the future, the Avos are going to come, Hashem is going to come to the Avos and say, Banecha Chatu, that's Gemara, I think Shabbos at Peidalat, Amad Beis. He's going to say, Banecha Chatu, your children have sinned. So they'll answer, Imachol Aman Shemecha, there should be a note for your holy name. And then they're going to come to Abraham. Abraham's going to say, you should be a note, they should be killed. He's going to come to Jacob. Jacob's going to say the same thing. He's going to come to Isaac. Isaac is going to start making a cheshbon. How long does a person live? 70 years. Take away half night that person is sleeping, so it's 35. Take away 20 that you don't punish, so it's 50. Take away half, it's night, so it's 25. So, he is telling you that kulon shavu l'toiva, that all the years of Shnei Chayisara, all the years of Sarah, were all for good. That even the nights, even though nights is a time that usually you don't accomplish anything during the night, still that night she was able to elevate to a different level, and she to elevate to the level for mitzvahs. How do you do that? Even though we know that if a person says and promises he's not going to sleep for 3 nights, someone makes a nether, I'm not going to sleep for 3 nights, we beat him up and make him sleep right away, because it's impossible for him not to sleep 3 nights. So the way to be able to maintain the night in a level of becoming a mitzvah is that if you use the night to rest, so by morning you should go to sleep, so then the night itself becomes a portion of the mitzvah, part of the mitzvah that you are able to go. So that's why it says Shnei Chayisara, that she had two lives. She had the life of the day and she had the life of night. That's why it says, Kilon Shavu'ot L'Toivo, that even the nights were also Kulon. Everything, Shavu'ot L'Toivo, were good, were for the good. No interpretation, Kulon Shavu'ot L'Toivo, is brought down, the Gemara brings down that story of Nachum Ishgamzu, that there was once a story about Nachum. His name is Nachum Ishgamzu. The rabbis needed to send somebody to Rome to give a gift to the king. So, they sent a chest, and Nachum Ishgamzu went to hotel, chest full of jewelry, and the people in the hotel, the people where he was in the inn, decided they stole all his jewelry and they filled it up with dirt. So the machlok is in the mafarshim if Nachum Ishgamzu realized at that time or didn't realize at the time. But anyways, let's assume he didn't realize at the time. He went to Rome, and they opened up the box and they seized all full of dust. So the king, so he says, Nochem is Gamzu, the first thing he says, Gamzu L'Toiva, that this too is for the good. Gamzu L'Toiva is supposed to say for that, a Jew is supposed to say that for anything bad that happens, if he says, true, have to be talking Hashem, that Hashem will fulfill whatever we need, he's always supposed to always say, Gamzu L'Toiva, this should be for the good too. So Nochem is Gamzu, that's why it's called Ish Gamzu, because he always says Gamzu L'Toiva, so he said Gamzu L'Toiva. So the king got very offended. He says, what's going on? The Jews are making fun of me. So the Gemara brings down that Eliyahu Novi made himself like one of the king's ministers and told him, maybe this is the special dust that was used for Avraham Avinu, that when he threw the dust up in the heavens and he turned to arrows and killed his enemies. So the king decided to make a test, send this to the he had a one country he couldn't conquer, he sent this to that country, And so it was that he threw the staff and it turned to arrows, and he was able to conquer that country that was always rebelling against him. So they came back to the king. They told him all that happened. So the king said that to fill up the box of Nachum Ish Gamza that was dust before, fill it up with jewelry and send it back to the Jews. So Nachum Ish Gamza stops by the same place in the same hotel, and they ask him, "What happened to you?" He says, "Yeah, I don't know. Whatever I took from here, I took it there." So basically, it means the dust that was from here I took there. So these people, these innkeepers, decided they're going to demolish the old house. They demolished the old house and filled up wagons and wagons of dust, of dirt. And they came to the king and said, to the king, "Hey, we brought you a big gift." So the king says, "What do you mean a gift? You're bringing me dirt?" So he says, "No, but we have the same dirt, you know, the dirt that the Jew took to you, brought to you, Nachum Ish Gamza brought to you. They said, this is the dirt that was taken from our house." So the king tested out, and it came out to be plain dirt, because that's what it was. It's just a miracle for Nachum Ish Gamza. And the king ordered them killed. So, but Nachum Ish Gamza was called Nachum Ish Gamza because every time everything he did, he says, "Gamzu l'tov, this should be for the good." So the idea is that Kulon Shofan l'tov, that all of them were l'tov for good. It's interesting, the numerical value of the word toiva is ben. That l'tov, the base l'tov, is ben. L'tov, Kulon Shofan l'tov, numerical value of the lamet is 30, the tes is 9, and the Vav is 5, so it's 30, the 6 is 4, that's 45, and the base is 2, that's 47, and the Hay is 5, that's 52. And Bain, numerical value of Bain is 52, so it could be the Hashem is to say that Shnei Chayesara, that maybe doesn't mean necessarily the years of Chayesara, maybe it means to say her second life, that whatever equivalent for her son was, that Kulon Shofan L'Toiva, that whatever equivalent to her son was, that's how much the Shnei, second life of Sarah was. Maybe that's the idea. And if that, what I answered before about Shnei Chayesara, the Chassid Sofer brings down, that she gets rewards even for the time you're asleep, could be that shot in the Medrash, a very, very funny Medrash, this week's Pasha. The Medrash brings down that Rabbi Akiva Yoyishiv Adoyer, Rabbi Akiva was darshaning in front of a class, and he saw that the tzibur is falling asleep. He's kind of dozing off. Happens a lot to my classes too. Bikesh Lo'iram, he tried to wake him up. Omar, so he says, Maro Aso Esther, Shatim Lechal Kof Chof Zayim Medina. Why did Esther rule? Esther was the Hashverosh's wife. Why did she marry to rule 127 nations? Ella, Tavoy, Esther, Shehi, Bito, Shosara, Eslet, Esther, which is the daughter of Sarah, Kam, Shosha, Kof, Chof, Zayin, that Sarah was 127 years old when she died, the Timlach, and she should rule El Kof, Chof, Zayin, Medinas, on 227 Medinas. So everybody has a question, what's the connection between Esther, Amalka, Esther, the story of Purim, Esther, and Sarah, Menum? So they explain that since he was sleeping, since we see that Sarah's total life was completely devoted, and because of her total life, 127, therefore she merited to be 127 nations. So you see that every little bit that you sleep has, that you don't learn Torah, or you don't elevate for the purpose of Hashem, is going to be something missing eventually from somewhere. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva, when he saw them falling asleep, he's trying to say that Sarah, when she went to sleep, her sleep was to serve Hashem. But you are not sleeping. So Sarah got reward for sleeping. Her great granddaughter was able to rule because of her 127 years. She was able to rule 127 countries. But you guys are falling asleep in the middle of learning, so you get no reward for it. So therefore, you try to wake him up, saying that way. So next pasuk brings down. Vayakam Avram Malpnei Meisoy. Avram got up. Vayakam Avram Atomasor b'Kiryas Arba, Atomasor died in Kiryas Arba, Yichevron, it's Hebron, Beretz Knan, the land of Knan. Vayavoy Avram, despite Sarah, Avram came to eulogize Sarah, v'livkoisa, and to cry for her. So first the Medrash, Vayavoy Avram, Meicham Ba, where did he come from? Mehara Moria Ba, he came from Hara Moria. And then also another interesting thing is if you take a look at the pasuk lispid l'sara v'liv koisa, the kaf is small, it's a small kaf, and we'll see why it's a small kaf. So first, the story about Sara coming back from Avram coming from Amaria, Rashi brings down here, and this Rashi could be specifically Rashi brings down on this pasuk. The truth is Rashi should have written down right in the beginning vayuchai Sara. The Rashi brings down here in this pasuk could be because of this medrash. The Rashi is alluding to this medrash. And it's put together the death of Sarah to Akedas Yitzchak. The fish because of the Akedah that Sarah found out that her son is going to be slaughtered. He came Mashal Nishchad, and almost he wasn't slaughtered. Parachon Nishmas of Imen v'Meisa. That's brought down from Medrash Tanchuma and Pirkei Rabbi Elazar. Normally when you learn the Medrash, you think that Sarah Imenu, that all of a sudden the Satan came to Sarah Imenu and told, you know, Avraham Avinu killed Isaac almost, and as soon as she heard the word killed Isaac, that she heard that Isaac was bound on the Mizbeach, on the altar, so automatically she wasn't able to stand, and her neshama flew away. That's the simple answer that people tend to think. So the question they ask is wait a minute. It's got to be a big problem here. What's the big problem? The big problem is that we read last expulsion, we saw that Sarah Imenu was greater in a greater level of prophecy than Avraham Avinu, because God says to Avraham Avinu that Kol HaShetomecho Sarah, Shema Bekol, everything that Sarah tells you, listen to her voice. So we see Rashi Zal Mikan that Avram is tafel l'nevuah l'Sara, that Avram is subordinate to Sarah for prophecy. So if Avram Avinu could stand the test of Yitzchak being bound, how is it possible that Sarah Menu couldn't stand the test? On that, a couple different answers. One is that a father is a father, but a mother is a mother. The idea being that a father, sometimes a father, Maybe because he had other children, he had Ishmael, maybe it was, even though it was a great test, but it would be a great test for a mother to sacrifice a child than for a father to sacrifice a child because of maternal instincts. Yeah. That's a simple answer. And the second answer is that Sarah didn't hear it from Hashem. If Sarah would have heard it from Hashem, Sarah would have probably not been scared. But Sarah only saw Avraham do it, so therefore maybe that's what caused her to become so upset. But actually the Yalkut Shimoni brings down a different interpretation. Yalkut Shimoni says quite the opposite. Yalkut Shimoni says that Sarah Imenu, that Yitzchak actually came to Sarah Imenu and said, you know, Hashem told me to go on top of the altar, and Hashem put me up there, and if Hashem wouldn't have said, do not kill, do not put your hand on the child, I would have been dead. So Sarah Imenu, the Medrash brings down that Sarah Imenu was distressed that Hashem already put it on top of the altar, and Hashem saw, Hashem saw a blemish in Yitzchak, that he wouldn't accept him as a sacrifice. So she was so distressed that she didn't raise her child right, that from distress, Parchon Ishmael and Shomer Nap. So according to this, it's quite opposite, not because she was less of a test, because she was more distressed than Abraham, that Hashem didn't accept the sacrifice of Isaac and become a Oyla Tamim and become a full Oyla. That's the interpretation of the Yalkut Shimoni last week's parsha. Another interpretation they bring down here, which is very interesting, they say that the connection is like this, that we know that chesed, every attribute has to have a balancing counteract. that husbands and wives, that's the idea of husbands and wives, that chesed, Abraham was total chesed, and Sarah was gevura, Sarah was strength. And we could see that specifically from the story of Ishmael, that a lot of times when you have complete chesed, you have total chesed, you could misplace that chesed, and you could not, you could be blinded for things that have to be done. Sometimes you have to make something, they call it tough love. Sometimes you have to do something drastically, even though you have chesed, but because of what's causing, the influence it's causing to other people, you have to go above and beyond. And that's exactly what happened when they kicked out Ishmael. Avraham Avinu wanted Ishmael to stay in the family, to stay next to Isaac, because he was total chesed, he didn't know anything else. So therefore, it required to have the antidote for that. Sarah Imenu was the antidote. She was gevura. She says, you know, send out this kid. This kid is bad influence, and that's gevura, to have the strength of character to counteract. Sometimes, even though people are going to say, how can you kick out your kid? No, you have to do it, and that's what the balancing is. That the balance of chesed has to be gevura. That's why, therefore, Avraham Avinu married Sarah. But came a time of the Akedah. Yitzchak, there he proved himself that he has gevura, that he has the strength of character, because he was able to go on the altar and go beyond and sacrifice himself on the altar. That showed the ultimate gevura. So, or maybe at that time, since Avraham Avinu, we could say a little bit differently. We could say that since Avraham Avinu at that time showed that he learned the lessons of gevura, that he is able to sacrifice his son on the altar. So maybe that time, the purpose of Sarah in this world was already taken. So therefore, because of Hara Maria, because of the Akedah, man, where she come? Where is Avram coming to bury Sarah? He's coming from the Akedah, where he's able to go up the test. He's able to get into himself the Gevura, to have Chesed merged with Gevura, where he's taking his son and doing the will of Hashem. He read the will of Hashem. He's able to sacrifice his own son, putting on the altar. So Sarah's mission at that point is done. So therefore at that time she fulfilled her mission, therefore she went into heaven. Therefore she passed away. I saw also interesting word, how come Avraham Avinu lived 175 years and Sarah Imenu lived only 127. So I saw a beautiful word. The Medrash Rabbah brings down that Avraham Avinu was 48 years old when he knew Hashem. When he recognized Hashem, he was 48 years old. So if you take 175, so it comes out he recognized Hashem for 175, he lived 175 years. If you deduce 48 years from 175, you get exactly 127. So it comes out Avraham and Sarah lived the same amount of years in service of Hashem. So maybe that's what it means to say that she lives 127 years. Kuno Shofan Toiva is telling you, should know that they're all for good. Avraham Avinu had 48 years where he worshipped idols and did other things according to one interpretation, the Medrash. So therefore, when he's saying Avraham Avinu lived 175, but if you take out 48 years that he didn't recognize Hashem, so 175 minus 48 is 127. So it comes out exactly the life of Sarah Imenu, which is 127 kulon shavim l'toira. Here it's written, Vayavo Avraham lispoed l'sara, Avraham came to eulogize Sarah, velif koiso, and cry for her. It's a very interesting balaturim, it's a very controversial balaturim. The balaturim here brings down, why is it written a small calf, like a mentioned before, calf katana, why is it written small calf? The balaturim brings down, shalei bocha elu me'at, that he only cried little. Why he cried little? She says, okay, now, so Sarah Imenu was a very old lady. We'll try to explain what's the idea of old lady in Nama. So that's the real controversial one. Shahoiso kamoi goremes misasa, that it was like she was caused her own death. Shemosra din, because she caused herself to get the din on herself. When is that? Because she started saying Hamasi Alecha. That was a story when Abraham when Abraham, when Sarah told Abraham to take Hagar, Parshas Lech Lecha, page 70, that that's pasuk number 5. That's Perik Tez Zion, pasuk number 8, says Vatomer Sarah Abraham, that there is with Hagar. Sarah gave Hagar for Abraham for a wife, and Hagar became pregnant, and she started acting disrespectful towards Sarah. So Sarah comes to Abraham, says, "Chamosi olecho, my anger is on you," and she says, "Yishpoit Hashem beini uveinecho, that Hashem should judge between me and you." Right. So the Gemara brings down from that everybody that brings din on somebody else, he eventually gets judged first. So therefore. Since Sarah says that Ishpoit Hashem Beinu Veinecho, she said those words, Hashem should judge between me and you. So the Parturim brings down that it's tantamount for her to be committing suicide. It's like she says that, you know, even though that was 50 years before, because it was right before, it was right even before Ishmael was born, and if Yitzchak was 37 at the Akedah, so Ishmael was 14 years older, so Ishmael was 51. So it was 51 years before. But she said those words, Yishpoit Hashem, Hashem should judge. And she is like she committed suicide at the time. And somebody who commits suicide, you're not supposed to be Mevaka Choyla. So since, I'm sorry, you're not supposed to eulogize. So therefore she eulogized her. Eulogize her a little bit, not a lot, just eulogize her a little bit. Another interpretation is brought down why she cried little is because on page 108, next chapter 24, pasuk number 1, it says, Avraham Zalkan Baba Yomim, Avraham is old, he's coming in his days, we'll maybe talk about it later if you have time. Vashem Berechas Avraham Bakoil, Vashem Rest Avraham with everything. So the Vilna Gaon brings down that the word Bakoil is the acronym, is the beginning of the three psukim that talk about sukkahs. The base is basukos teshu yeshivas yamim, that in sukkahs should dwell 7 days. The kaf is kol ha'ezach beYisrael yeshev basikos, that all the natives of Israel should dwell in sukkahs. And the lamet is the man yed v'reseichem ki basukos u'shav tez meYisrael, so all your generation should know that I set you in sukkahs. So bakoil comes sukkahs. So he says like this, the Akedah we know it was Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur took 3 days for him to get to Kiryas Arba. So all of a sudden he comes there to Kiryas Arba, it's 3 days later, so Yom Kippur is the 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th. So he buries on the 14th, which is Erev Sukkot. So Erev Sukkot, Erev Yontef, there's no time to eulogize her, to cry a lot for her, because it's Yontef. And Hashem Berechas Avraham Bakoili. So it's a continuation. Why can't he do it? Why can't he do Lifkoisa? Because Hashem blessed him Bakoil. So therefore, he has no time to eulogize us so much because of the Sukkot, because the Sukkot is Erev Yontef. And we know that Avraham Avinu kept all the holidays. So therefore, it's Erev Yontef. The Chasam Sofer brings down that the word Lifkoisa, it's written like the kaf small, it's made to be written with a vita, that she had, like the word more says, Avraham berechas Avraham bakoil, bas hoiso al Avraham bakol shma umeisa, that she had Avraham had a daughter called Bakol and she died. So velif koisa means to say that he cried with a vita, that he cried for the daughter. So they explain that while Sarah was alive, he consoled himself with Sarah, but all of a sudden Sarah died, and the daughter, and so therefore, he, through her dying, it became painful so much that now, when he's eulogizing for Sarah, he's also eulogizing for his daughter that passed away because the pain just came out again. That's according to Chasam Sofer. I saw an interesting word from Vinerov. The Vinerov brings down something very beautiful, but it requires to have a little bit of Kabbalah here. That before, by the story of Ishmael, Pasha's Lech Lecha, when Hashem tells him, Lu Ishmael, that you're going to have a child after the Bris Ben Absorim, he says you're going to have a child and I'll give to your child all the stuff that I'm going to have a child from Sarah. So, that's on page 74, on Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk number Yud Ches. So Hashem tells them, you know, that Sarah is going to have a child. I'm giving you from Sarah to you a first child. I wish Ishmael should live at Akedah. When he was able to Akedah, he was so scared. He brings down that Parchon Ishmael, that Yitzchak was so scared that he actually died, that his female soul went up. And all of a sudden, his male soul came down. So he brings down that, therefore, right afterwards, that's when, right after the Akedah, that's when it's born Yitzchak Zivuk Rivka. Because until the Akedah, Yitzchak wasn't about to have, he would have a female soul, he couldn't have any children. So therefore, right after the Akedah, when he could again have children, when a male soul comes down for him, to him, and he becomes again a full person, then it's required to him to get married. So therefore Hashem then creates for him a Shidduch, which is Rivka. That's exactly why it's written right there. At the Akedah it's written that he had a child. And according to this, it's very good, because it's a very interesting thing. Last week's Parsha says that Avraham Avinu made a Mishte Gadol. Page 94, Pasuk number Ches, says, Veigdal Ayelet Veigomal, the child became older and it became wind. Vayas Avraham Mishte Gadol, Avraham made a big party, Beyoy Megomal as Yitzchok, the day that Yitzchok became wind. So they ask a question, what kind of party is this? How come if you make a party at 2 years, Rashi says that it was when he was 2 years old. Yitzchak was 2 years old, made a big party. And that the party, by the way, that it was Christians, okay. So they ask a question, how come we don't make such a party? So they explain that, this question with another question that they ask. And this question is a very important question. They ask a question, Avraham Avinu is the epitome of Chesed. So if he's the epitome of Chesed, how come Hashem tells Abraham at the end of Parshas Lech Lecha, which I just mentioned now, the Pasuk, that Pasuk number, page 74, Pasuk number 15, says, V'racht Yoysa, I'm sorry, 16, V'racht Yoysa, a bless Sarah, V'gam Nosat L'men L'cho Ben, I'll give you from her a son. So here he knows, Abraham here knows, that Sarah Imenu, she's barren for 89 years, and she longs to have a child. Hashem tells him that he's going to have a child. And Avraham Avinu doesn't go quickly tell his wife, my wife, Hashem told me you're going to have a child. The good news, Avraham is chesed. So how can Avraham not do that? So the simple answer is simple, that since Avraham told him two things, Avraham told him to make a brit milah, and Avraham told him afterwards, told him to tell Sarah that Sarah is going to have a child, also told to make a brit milah. So he got preoccupied making the brit milah. He forgot until the angels came. Last week Parsha told him. The other answer they give down is because from that Parsha, Hashem doesn't say that she is going to be alive. Avraham Avinu thought, maybe it's a bittersweet message. She's 89 years old when she's going to have a child. Maybe she's going to die the same way Rachel died when she gave birth to Benjamin. That she's only 89 years old. It's a miracle. So therefore he decided not to tell her, because it could be, he doesn't know exactly, God doesn't promise him that she's going to live afterwards. God just said she's going to have a child. So here if the angels come, and the angels say, Koeis Chayo. The angels, as Pasuk Parsha says, say, Shoi Voshi Velecho, Pasuk number 10, page 80, that the angels, the Michal comes and says, Shoi Voshi Velecho, I'll come back to you, Koeis Chayo. Rabbi Asko translates, this time next year. But Koeis Chayo means that the time that you are alive. So all of a sudden the angel promised him that he is going to be alive. So that's a great news, that she's going to be alive is great news. So if you take a look afterwards, she laughs, and Hashem again has to reiterate and says, Lamoed Oshev Olech Koeis Chayo L'Sara Ben. So the question is, why does Hashem have to reiterate again the promise, Lamoed Oshev Olech Koeis Chayo L'Sara Ben? Why can't Hashem says, Paul Hashem Dover? Infinite. Hashem could do anything and finish. Why Hashem has to promise again, next year I'll come again? It was already promised one time. So they explained the fact that she, the Sarimeno, when she got the news that she's going to have a child, instead of saying Amen, when somebody gives you good news, the first thing you have to say, Amen. She just left. So by her laughing, she negated her the decree that she's going to have a child, that she's going to live. She's going to have a child, she's going to live. She negated it. It was decreed that she's not going to, that she's going to die for it. So therefore, Hashem had to reiterate the promise, Kois Chaya, that she knows you're going to be alive when he has a child. So Avraham Avinu thinks that since Hashem had to reiterate this stuff, that he's only going to have a child only because of her life is tied to Isaac. That the same way that Moshe Rabbeinu, we see Moshe Rabbeinu would not nurse from non-kosher, from a non-Jewish woman. That the story that they gave Moshe Rabbeinu a little drop of milk from an Egyptian woman, and he wouldn't take anymore, so until they brought his mother to give milk. And by the way, the Torah brings down that that's why he became hard of speech, because of the calls, the story of the calls later, that he had to kasher his mouth. But anyways, Avraham Avinu thought that since that Sarah is only going to stay alive while Yitzchak requires her needs. So therefore, when he saw that in that means the 2 years it requires to be a breastfeed from Sarah, so therefore she's staying alive because he requires that. But after the 2 years, he thought that Sarah is going to die. So therefore, she makes a big party. Avram makes a big party as Yitzchak, the day of Yitzchak's of the winning of Yitzchak, because he thought that the only need for it was while Yitzchak is being winned. So it comes out afterwards that Kois Chaya, that Sarah's life was tied to Isaac's life. So it comes out now that when according to the Zohar, which says that Isaac's neshama, according to Rechaim, who says that the Akedah, Isaac's female neshama went up to heaven and died, and a male neshama came down to him. So come the original neshama died. So since Sarah Imenu was tied, her neshama was tied to Isaac's neshama, because we made the connection, because it's tied down together. Even Avraham Avinu thought that she's going to die at the time finished wedding. But no, but it was still required from Sarah Imenu to be around to make sure that the chinuch of Yitzchak was okay. That he had to kick out Ishmael, make sure that the environment is okay, make sure everything is okay. So after that, Yitzchak is be able to hold his own and survive, and his female neshama dies, the male neshama is put into him. So now it's time for him to die. So according to this, comes out very good. It says here that Avraham lispoed le Sarah. Avraham came to eulogize Sarah, velif koisa, and to cry to her. But it's also written Levita, that to her daughter, because Yitzchak, according to Rechaim, had a female neshama, so that female neshama died at Akedah. So Abraham came to eulogize for Yitzchak, for Sarah, and also for the female neshama of Yitzchak. And according to this, also an interesting also answer, that it says, Avraham zokem bebayomim, Avraham is old, Hashem berech Avraham bakol, Hashem blessed Avraham bakol with everything. The message brings down that she had a daughter, that Avraham Avinu kept through this daughter, even Erev Tavshilin. So it's a question, what's going on? What's the connection with Erev Tavshilin? What's the connection with Avraham and having a daughter and connecting Erev Tavshilin? So they bring down this message there also, and they say that since we know Pru Revu is to have a son and a daughter, and by Yitzchak having a female neshama and then having a male neshama, he was able to fulfill both. That Bakol was the everything. Even the female, even the halacha of having a female, he had it because in Yitzchak itself was the male and the female afterwards. So therefore, even Mekayim Erev Tavshilim, even all the mitzvahs of Rabbanu, even the mitzvahs of Erev Tavshilim, he was able to be Mekayim, Avraham Avinu was able to be Mekayim through Yitzchak. Another interpretation, why Avraham Avinu cried little, So I saw that we know the Satan, he tends to make a person, even after he does a mitzvah, he tends to make a person feel sorry that he actually did a mitzvah. He tries to find ways to find you, to regret the fact that you did a mitzvah. He first tries to get you before you make the mitzvah, but for some reason if he can't get you before you make the mitzvah, he tries to make you regret the fact that you did it. Let's say you give tzedakah to somebody. And he tries to say, you know, find out, you know what, this person maybe didn't need so much, maybe I gave too much, maybe I did this. So at first you do mitzvah with complete heart. And then he tries to make a point that maybe you should not, maybe you should regret the mitzvah. So here Avraham Avinu, all of a sudden he does the big mitzvah of Akedas Yitzchak. He's able to stand the test, and the Medrash brings down how the Satan stopped on the way and told him you're crazy, you know, and made different ways to prevent Avraham from doing it. And all of a sudden the Satan cannot prevent him from doing it. And out of this consequence of Akedas Yitzchak, unfortunately, or fortunately, for whatever reason, Sarah dies. So Avraham thought that if he's going to cry a lot, he's going to show, maybe he's going to show regret for me doing the Akedah, that he's crying so much that he maybe shouldn't have done the Akedah Zitzchak. Because out of Akedah Zitzchak came out that Sarah may not die. So therefore he decided he's going to cry, but cry very little, so people wouldn't think that he's regretting the mitzvah that he did with Akedah Zitzchak. Another interpretation of the belief Koisa, of why the small calf and why does it mean he cried little. Because we explained before that the Rashi explains that, that it's written 100 years, 20 years, and 7 years. So Rashi explains she was 100 years, like when she was 100, she was like 20 fault sin. So it comes out that 20 is a fault sin. So Velif Koisa, that's why the calf is small, because she was crying the 20 that she was fault sin. So if she was fault sin, then she for sure going to a better place and realized that she's going to a better place. So therefore, he cried he cried little for her because her calf, she had 20, that she didn't have a chet, she was without sin. So therefore you don't have to cry a lot for this, because she, you know that is, that Sarah is going to a better place, and for her she's painless because there's very little change from this world for her than for the world to come, that she's in a better place. Another explanation to bring down, the belief Koisa, is actually she's coming to cry the letter Hey. That we know that Sarai was originally she was with a Yud, that she was equivalent Yud 10, and she gave out of this Yud 5 of herself to Abraham, so Abraham should have a child. So she ended up having Hey, Sarai for Hey, and Abraham added a 5, so Yud is 10, Hey and 5, so 2 Heys is equal to Yud. So therefore before was Sarai, now became Sarah, and Abraham got Avraham, she got extra hay. So, and the Talmud brings down that hay, the yud, is the Olam Haba, and hay is Olam Hazah. So she had to come down to the Olam Hazah. She was in a lofty world, she wasn't Olam Haba. And she had to come down to Olam Hazah to make sure that Avraham has a child. So therefore, Velif Koisa, he came to cry the hay. He cried the hay that she gave him. The Velif Koit, Hey, not Velif Koisa, Velif Koit, she came to cry, Lisbeth, sorry, eulogize Sarah, and to cry the Hey. And the message brings down that every time that you say a small letter, Kaf, has to be a fourth of the amount, the size of the letter. So the numerical value of Kaf is 20, so a fourth of that, a fourth of 20 is 5. So Velif Koita, he came to cry the Hey. The Kleyoker on Pasuk, Vatoma Sora Bekira Sarba, he Hevroin, the Kli Yoker brings a very interesting thing. The Kli Yoker brings down that place had 4 names. It had Eshkol, Mamre, Kirya Sabra, and Hebron. And he brings down there are 4 kinds of death. One death is a man dies for his own sin, and his own evil that causes him to die. That's one reason one person dies. There's another reason a person dies is because other people sin. That Gemara is down that Bavona Dorim, because a person promises and doesn't keep, so therefore his children and his wife die because he promises doesn't keep things. Or a tzaddik, Gemara is down because the tzaddik dies because of his generation. So it's not something that he did himself, it's not something that he was guilty himself, but nonetheless he dies because of other people's sin. And that there is another thing, is another time, is that when the four man is made of 4 elements, right? Earth, fire, water, and wind. So when those 4 elements separate, that's the Dal Yesoides. When these 4 elements separate, that means that the person dies because of this reason. And then there is another reason a person dies is because of the Neshama. Gets so close to Hashem that the Neshama wants to be close to Hashem, wants to cleave to God, and that is the reason that he leaves the body and therefore a person dies. So he brings the mamre, when it says the word mamre, that means that mamre ma'isem as Hashem, that the reason a person dies is because of he rebelled against Hashem, his evil. Eshkol comes from the word lama eshkol gam shneyam yom echad, that is talking about when Esau was going to kill Yaakov. So Rivka prophesies, why should I die? Why should you both of you die at the same time? A person who does something not by himself, who does something by somebody else, is called Eshkol. So therefore the word Eshkol would mean that somebody dies because of sins of others. And Kiryas Arba means that with getting together all four elements, where that's what it means that the four elements separate, where the body is just time to go and body is going. Or Hevroin means when you're getting close to Hashem, Haver, you're getting together to Hashem, you become friendly or close to Hashem. So that's what he's telling you, that Sarah died, Bekiria Sarah by Hevroin, that she could only die either because her body gave out for the four elements or because she cleaved to Hashem. And it's not because of the first, not because of Eshkol Imamre, that's not the reason she died. She only died only because of the or together, that the four elements separated and she got cleaved to Hashem, that's why she died. And that comes out very well, that Avraham therefore cried very little because she had no sins. Velif Koiso again connects to what we said before, that Velif Koiso, that she had no sin and therefore the 20, and she cried, that's for the 20 small, that she had no sin like the 20. The Gemara brings a connection of Sarah Imenu dying, because last week's parasha we have the birth of Rivka, and the pasuk writes down Vezarach Hashemesh Yivo Hashemesh, that while one tzaddik dies from this world, another tzaddik replaces him, or another tzaddik, one tzaddik is born, one kingdom cannot touch the other kingdom. So as soon as Rivka, the announcement of Rivka Imenu is born, so therefore Sarah has to die. It is nice word, but the only problem is that it's not always constant, because when Rachel and Leah are there, Rivka doesn't die yet. She dies on the road when they get married. She doesn't die. She just dies later, according to Gemara. She dies at a later age. She doesn't die exactly when she gets married. So, what is the criteria? I don't know, but that is brought down by Sephona. What I just mentioned is brought down by Sephona. Sephona writes down that Vezarach Hashemesh Yivo Hashemesh, that's exactly what it means down. There is an interesting word in Vayuchai Sarah. There is an interesting Medrash Peliyah. Medrash Peliyah brings down. Medrash Peliyah means a wondering, very wonderment of Medrash. The Medrash brings down Mishemesa Sarah. As soon as Sarah died, Hizchil Adam Arishon Vedaber B'Loshon Arami. The Adam Arishon started saying Loshon Arami. So they explain what's going on, what is this? So they explain that when a person comes to heaven and complains to the Marishan that he's the cause of people dying because he's the one that causes death to come to the world. So he says no. He says no, each person dies on his own sin. That when tzaddik bo'aretz asher yaseh tov lo yachta, he says each person dies on his own sin, and there's no person that comes into the world that doesn't sin. So therefore, don't complain to me about dying. Complain about yourself. You have your own problem about dying. But here Rashi writes down, why is it written the word Shana Shana by Sarah? Why is it written 100 years, 20 years, and 7 years? So Rashi writes down that she was 100 years, she was like 20 fold sin. So when she comes into heaven, and she goes to complain to Adam Arishon, why did she die? So Adam Arishon can't answer, you died on your own sin, because it clearly says it's, she doesn't die on her own sin. So therefore, what does he do? He says he starts speaking Lashon Arami. Lashon Arami is a Targum Unkelus. And Targum Unkelus brings down, the Targum brings down, Vavachaya Sarah, Meyo Vesmi Shoshnin. The life of Sarah was 127 years. Doesn't put a word year between everything. So that's what brings down, that's the word, that's what means to say, that as soon as she came to heaven, so he starts speaking Lashon Arami. So if it's not written 100 years, 20 years, so he can't equal 100 to 20. So that doesn't mean that she didn't sin anymore. So therefore he could again tell her that maybe you sinned. So that's what it means to say that as soon as a Damarishan, as soon as Sarah died, the Damarishan started speaking Lashon Arami, because that's the only excuse that he could give her for her dying. And that is in the name of Rabbi Nachum Mendel from Vizhnitsa. Everybody asks a question, how come Yitzchak Avinu, our forefather Yitzchak, did not come to eulogize his mother, give a hesped to his mother? So the simple answer they give is that since right after the Akedah, that when he achieved the ultimate goal a person could achieve, where he sacrificed himself for Hashem, so what did Yitzchak Avinu do? He went to learn Torah. He went to sacrifice himself to learn Torah. So therefore Abraham Avinu didn't feel it's the right time for him to call him back, even for a funeral of his mother. It wasn't proper for him to come and close Bittul Torah. According to the opinion that before he had a female neshama and all of a sudden he had a male neshama, it comes out even better. That before, since women are not mechuyev to learn Torah, but men are mechuyev to learn Torah, so why just after the Akedah decides to send Yitzchak to yeshiva? He doesn't mention before, like the Medrash doesn't say that before he went to yeshiva. He says that only afterwards he sent to yeshiva. Could be that's the reason, that since all of a sudden he has a male neshama, so male neshama required to learn Torah, so therefore he sent him, the first thing he had to do right afterwards is send him to yeshiva to learn. And could be also that's also the, if you take a look, that Zohar brings down that women are higher level than men, and could be that's why even though he didn't learn Torah, but he had the greatest self-sacrifice as a female soul to actually be able to go to sacrifice himself for Hashem. But according to one opinion, Yitzchak wasn't present. He went to learn Torah, and Avraham didn't tell him. But I saw an interesting part according to opinion that he was present. So I guess a question: how come they didn't eulogize him? And the answer from the Gemara Baba Basra, Daf Ayin Hay, which brings down that the elders of the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu used to say that Moshe Rabbeinu's face is like the sun, and Yeshua's face is like the Levana. There's a question, why do they say the elders of generation used to say? Why do they say the young people used to say? So what's the difference between the sun and the moon? That the sun is constant. That Moshe Rabbeinu, when he became big, he was just as constant as when he died. It says, "He Moshe Baharin." The third pasuk comes down that this is Moshe Baharin that's standing before Pharaoh. This is the same Moshe Baharin at the end of the times, where they are staying the same light. The sun is a constant light, never wavers. It's constant light. So therefore, Moshe is considered like the sun, but Yeshua is like the moon, which when he was young, it's small and it keeps growing. Same thing with Yeshua, it's like the moon, it kept always growing. And also another interpretation being done is the moon doesn't have the light of his own, and the sun has light of his own, so Yeshua had the light coming from Moses, not by sun. But anyway, let's stick to the first pshat, that the sun is constant, but the moon is growing. So the new people, the generation, the young people thought that the same way Yeshua kept growing, the same thing, Moshe Rabbeinu also, when he was young, he was on a lower level, and he kept growing. So therefore, only the Zakenim, only the elder people who knew Moshe Rabbeinu when he was young, they could testify that Moshe Rabbeinu is like the sun, that he's constant. So the same thing that since Sarah Imenu had Yitzchak only when she was much older, so Yitzchak could not testify the way she behaved, how she was when she was before 90 years old. He could only testify for the last 37 years of her life. So therefore, Avraham Avinu is the one that has to come and eulogize her. And because Yitzchak is not ready for doing it, because Yitzchak didn't know her for so long. And Hashem Yisborach should help us, that the same way it's written, the Hashem Berechaz Avraham Bakoil. And Chassam Sofer brings down that Bakoil, the word base, if you open up Bakoil, base, Kof Lamet, if you open up Bakoil, comes out the numerical value of Shofar. So Hashem Yisborach should help us, Hashem should bless us Bakoil with everything, specifically the Shofar Shel Mashiach, and that the Shofar Shel Mashiach should come right away, and we should be married to dwell in Eretz Yisrael, Bakoil with everything, and the blessing should promise to go to all Jews and Shalom al Israel. Amen.